Thank you, Ian. Tessa and I had a lovely weekend away recently. We were out in Italy, and the weather wasn't terribly nice, so it was a great opportunity to read books. I love reading. And I picked up a book while I was out there called We Are Soldiers. Having had a stint in the military myself, that sort of title appeals to me. And it was stories told by soldiers of what they do. And one of them was of an infantry platoon commander stationed out in Afghanistan. And he was actually decorated for a fairly intense fortnight of action that he and his platoon were involved in. I think he got the MC, so fairly dramatic stuff. And one of the things that he said is that as an infantry platoon commander, one of the things he really, really appreciates is having an Apache helicopter on call. Now, what on earth has this got to do with the subject in hand? Have we got the slide there? Okay, there's our Apache helicopter. Hopefully you can see, it looks pretty much like a helicopter, doesn't it? It's got a rotor, it's got a tail rotor, it's got landing gear, it's got a pilot. But this isn't just an ordinary helicopter, it's got some tricks up its sleeve. On top of the rotor there, you've got a radar dome. You've got a gunner sitting in the front of it, which you don't normally have in a helicopter. You've got a gunner's gun turret, the sensor turret at the front. You've got a 30mm automatic cannon. What else have you got there? Hellfire missiles, Hydra rocket launcher. And bizarrely for a helicopter, it has wings as well. If we could have our next slide. Who recognizes this gentleman? What's his name? Anybody recognize him? What's his name, Ian?
Clark Kent.
He is indeed. He is Clark Kent, reporter, I think, on the Globe newspaper in Metropolis. Is that the right way around? What about this next chap? Ah, everybody recognises him. Molly, even you recognise him, don't you? Okay, that's Superman. That is Clark Kent's alter ego. Now, the difference between Clark Kent's a good chap. He really is. He's a good, very earnest reporter. He's a very serious man. He lives a very good, very quiet life. He's sort of slightly bumbling, but his heart is won by Lois Lane, who is a fellow reporter. But then he also has these amazing powers, and when he exercises these powers, he becomes Superman. So what we're looking at today, what we're looking at today, as Ian mentioned, is the natural and supernatural. This is the sixth in our series on the new wine values. And the new wine value number six is this: natural and supernatural. We want to see every Christian using all the natural reason, wisdom, and skill they can, while also learning to operate in the supernatural gifts of the Spirit to minister to others in love and power as Jesus did. So how did Jesus minister? I'm sure we all have our favourite stories from the Gospels of the way Jesus ministered, but he ministered using natural and supernatural powers. He met people where they were. He understood what they were going through. He knew the political, the cultural environment in which these things were happening. But he also had power from God. Ian was talking last week about how Jesus came not to to be served as a king, but as a king, he came to serve. And he calls on us to serve as well. We are created to be in relationship with him. And I think that in any intense relationship, any relationship such as we are called upon to have with Jesus, with God, it's the relationship of love. And the more love you put into a relationship, the more you desire to serve, the more you give of yourself to that relationship. And so, our love for God should be worked out in a desire to serve him. And how do we serve him? Well, in John 13, verse 35, Jesus said, "By this all men will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." So we loop back, don't we? We are called upon to love, and the more we love, the more we want to serve. And we're called to that purpose as well. In his letter to Timothy, Paul writes, "God, who has saved us and called us to a holy life." He's called us to a purpose. Rick Warren sums it up neatly in his book, The Purpose-Driven Life. He says, "For Christians, service is not optional. It is the heart of Christian life." If we could have the next slide, Derek. I don't know if any of you are familiar with this logo. It's designed to appeal to... it's a conversation starter, and actually I got involved in a conversation as a result of the wristband which I wear, which is a 4 points wristband. Last weekend, I got involved in a conversation with somebody. Does anybody know what it means, the 4 points? Ian will. Anybody else know? Okay, it's very simple. The first one is love. God loves me. The second one, I remember it from school when somebody put a big red cross against my work. They did it an awful lot of the time. So the second one is, I do things wrong. I get things wrong. I mess up. The third one, the symbol of the cross, Jesus died for me. And the fourth one, the question mark, with all that behind us, what are we going to do about it? Jesus loves me. I do wrong. He died for me. It begs a response. So what are we going to do about it? And if we love God as he loves us, we must serve him. So what are our gifts? We all have natural gifts, don't we? We may not think that our natural gifts are up to much, but our natural gifts are things, talents, abilities, the results of our genetics, of our upbringing, of our education, and to a certain extent of training. The ability to cook, the ability to drive a car, the ability to listen to people, the ability to read, any number of things you can think of, which we do on a day-to-day basis. These are available not just to Christians, but to non-Christians as well, and can be used for spiritual or indeed non-spiritual purposes. Supernatural gifts, though, these are the things that take us from being Clark Kent to being Superman. And we may not be able to fly or turn back time as Superman could, but we can do remarkable things for people. We really can. So the supernatural gifts, the things that lift us, the things that set us apart, are God-given. They're not things that you can ascribe to where you went to school or what you studied at university. They're over and above that. They're not things that we can usually do, not things that people can usually do. They're over and above that. There was a story a number of years ago which came out of America. It was before America started realizing that their huge cars were guzzling gas and causing endless damage to the planet. And so it was in the days of very big cars, you know, the old Lincoln Continental and things like that. And there was a story of a woman who was out shopping, and her son ran out into the road and was run over. And he was trapped under one of these enormous gas-guzzling cars. And as you might imagine, people who had seen this potentially tragic event were all running around, panicking and screaming and shouting and making all sorts of suggestions. The mother walked up to the car and lifted it off her son. Literally just walked up to the car, lifted it, and people were able to get her son out. That is a sort of superhuman strength that she was given on that occasion for that purpose. And these are the sort of supernatural gifts that are available to us as Christians. Not saying that you'll be able to lift up your car when you get a flat tire and you can't find the jack, but they're gifts of that sort of magnitude, that sort of amazingness. And why are we given these gifts? Well, the clue is in verse 7 of our second reading. Now, to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. That is why we're given these gifts. Some people, when they're given gifts, like to keep them for themselves and boast about them. That's not what spiritual gifts are given for. Spiritual gifts are given so that we can exercise them, so that we can use them to God's glory, to do remarkable things in people's lives, as a witness for our God. So what are the gifts? They're listed in our second reading there. I'm not going to dwell on them too long. Wisdom, and that is actually having wisdom, but it's also having the ability to communicate spiritual wisdom. Wisdom is no use if you keep it to yourself. Knowledge, the ability to communicate practical truths. Faith. It's not just a little bit of faith, it's unusual faith. It is the ability, the ability to rely on God. Healing. It's always a great debate as to whether healing happens in the world nowadays. A lot of people think that healing happened back in Jesus' time. Not so. Healing happens now. Physical healing, spiritual healing, emotional healing, it's all available. And we are called upon to exercise it. And exercising it, being able to help people, being able to heal people or to help them find healing, is an incredible blessing, as I'm sure anybody here who's been involved in it will tell you. It is such a privilege. Miraculous powers, prophecy, distinguishing between spirits. This maybe needs a little bit more explanation. There are good spirits, there are bad spirits. They exist. The devil is out there. And he will implant words of his knowledge into people. And so, if you have the gift of distinguishing between spirits. That's your niche, is to be able to discern what is of God, what is not. And tongues, again, a gift that people are wary of, but again, a beautiful gift to hear people singing in tongues or praying in tongues, again, is beautiful, and receiving prayer in tongues is a deeply, deeply spiritual thing. And there's no hierarchy on all of these gifts. They are all as important as each other. So if you look at somebody and say, oh, well, they've got that sort of a gift, they're a much better Christian than me, again, not so. The gifts are given to each one, as it says. Now, to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given. So whatever gift you have, that is the gift that God has given you for here, for now, for where you are, to do the job that He wants you to do. So don't look at somebody else and be envious of what gifting they have. If we read another verse or two in our second reading, we would have come to the passage about us all being parts of the body. If we were all prophets, who would do the healing? We're all important. Whatever it is we can do is a vital part of this church, is a vital part of the body of Christ here on earth. Again, Rick Warren, in his book, The Purpose-Driven Life, says this: there are no insignificant ministries in the church. Some are visible, some are behind the scenes, but all are valuable. Small or hidden ministries often make the biggest difference. So while the vicar is out evangelizing, we need people here praying. All the gifts complement each other. Let's look quickly at our first reading. I'm not going to dwell on this, but I just want to pick out one or two little gifts of the Spirit that are evidenced here. Let's look at the first verse. Now, the day before Saul came, God had revealed this to Samuel. And then if we look down at the last verse, Samuel says, here is what has been kept for you. Eat, because it was set aside for you for this occasion, from the time I said, I have invited guests. He said that before verse 15. So he knew that somebody was coming before God told him who was coming. The other little detail I love in that first verse, God had revealed this to Samuel. The original language is that God had whispered it in his ear, that he had sort of loosened whatever sort of headdress Saul was wearing, had sort of pulled up the ear flap, as it were, and had whispered it in his ear. What an amazing gift that God should speak into your ear. And that is a gift which is available to us today. If you're unsure what your gifts are, or if you want more, ask. As it says in Matthew 7, verse 7, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. A friend of Tetta's, somebody who she used to work with, a lovely lady called Linda, wanted the gift of prophecy. And she prayed and she prayed and she prayed. She prayed for 4 or 5 years. And God heard her prayer, but Linda didn't actually realize it. She started having dreams. And she would have a dream, and then the next day, unknown to her, she would actually end up talking to the person for whom the dream was. And bizarrely, she would have dreams about fish. And it wasn't until she saw a pattern developing, that she worked out what this was all about. Her dreams about fish were actually telling people that they were having children. And it was an amazing day when she rang Teta and said that she had dreamt about fish. So ask for these gifts. Read more about them in your Bible. Pray with friends, pray with your home group about them. Discover more. Ask God what He wants to give you. Because He does. He's a loving God. He wants to give each one of us gifts. And if you have gifts, if you know that you have some gifts, then can I remind you of the parable of the talents in Matthew 25 and in Luke 19? If you have a talent, use it. Our talents, our gifts, are like muscles. They need to be used. The athletes preparing now for the Olympic Games, they are practicing their particular skill. They are using their muscles, they're working them to get them really to peak performance, ready for the games. If they didn't use their muscles, if they didn't practice, then they'd be about as much use in the Olympics as I would be. No good at all. So if you have gifts, practice them. That's why God gave them to you. And we were talking earlier on about episcopal commands. In his document, Transforming Presence, which I think all our home groups have looked at, Bishop Stephen lays out the strategic priorities for the Diocese of Chelmsford. And he says, our passion is Jesus. Proclaiming and living out God's love for all people. Our aspiration is to be a transforming presence in every community, open and welcoming to all and serving all. And our resources in doing these things are faithful people, prayer and worship, visionary leadership, and liberating gifts. If we have gifts, let's use them. If we want more gifts, or if we don't know what our gifts are, let's seek them. Let's seek God's will for us. What a wonderful thing to be able to do, to minister in power as Jesus did. And that's what we're called on to do.